Good evening and welcome to Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. My name is Abraham Asari. Internet sedition, farmer murdered in cold blood, another victim of alleged Fulani brutality in Augu. How is the police dealing with the case? Another word marks hand washing day. To what extent does hand washing prevent diseases? That's the question we ask tonight. This is Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. This is Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. 0264418767 is a text line. With the rare report that Notre Dame Girls Senior High School in Bono Ahafo has been closed down, our regional correspondent Emmanuel Mesa-Abiodu is on the line. We'll be speaking to the regional minister, Kojinya Mechemafo, who is also on the line. But let's first get some institutional report from Mesa-Abiodu, our regional correspondent. Good evening to you, Emmanuel. Welcome to Behind the News. So,
Hello?
Yeah, Emmanuel, what resulted in the closure of the school? Emmanuel Mesa-Abiodu, can you hear me? Hello, Emmanuel, can you hear me? Okay, now, so, Regional Minister Kojinya Mechemafo, good evening, welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, sir.
We understand that some petition was sent to your office. Can you tell us what resulted in the closure of Notre Dame Girls Senior High School?
Well, just around midday today, I heard some noise from the downstairs of the building to our offices. And I just peeped through the window to see what was going on, only to realize that there was a group of students who were chanting wild songs and then holding some sticks and, you know, branches of trees. So I made my PRO inquire about what the situation was. And I was told that the students were on demonstration and they were ready to send a petition to us about some maltreatment meted out to them at the school by the school authorities. So I immediately got down and met the students and listened to them. And their grievances among others were that first, they were saying that students died early in the early hours of today and that there were signs of the students' ailment over the past 2 weeks. And instead of the authorities allowing the student to go to the hospital to seek medical treatment, they were offering treatment by the school nurse. And this subsequently led to the deterioration in the condition of the student. And eventually she died at the hospital this morning. So they felt that this issue has been going on for some time now. And they felt that the student should have been sent to the hospital. So it was to them an act of negligence that led to the death of the student. So they were not happy about that. At the same time, they also alleged that they were being badly treated by the school authorities. Sometimes the school authorities do not listen to them and all that. So it's like they felt that enough was enough, and that is why they came to us. So we talked to them and said that what we were going to do was that they should keep calm. And then whilst we looked at the issue from a point of investigation, if necessary. So I must say that as we are talking now, we have constituted a committee to investigate the issue and then come up with some recommendations. But just after the meeting with a group of people where we constituted a committee that was going to investigate the issue, I was told that the school had been closed down, ostensibly by the school authorities, and indeed we were not part of that decision to close down the school. So, after 5 p.m., so there was nothing I could do. Monday, I'll get the details and then know what the way forward.
Is it that the students were rioting and that is why they had to close the school down?
No, I don't think so. But I think that from what I heard, the authorities suspected that the students were going to go, you know,
on the rampage.
That is why they decided to close the school. But I think that we talked to the students and they agreed to go back to you know, observe some calmness on campus. So to us, it was a surprise that students, the authorities decided to close down the school. So we don't know the details, as I said earlier, and that Monday, when we go back to the office, we are going to find out what
happened. But have you been in touch with the heads of the school?
No, the head, we did our best to speak to the head, but I couldn't get the head. So the chaplain, who the students love so much, in whom the students trust so much, he was the students, and I think that we talked to him as well. But he felt that, well, what was going on, probably something that was beyond him and beyond everybody's understanding and imagination. But I think that from all indications, it looks like the students have a case. But I think that until the committee comes out, we may not have to present the case.
But so are you saying that the chaplain was the one who led the students to march to your office?
No, that's not what I mean.
But he was with them?
They were saying from all indications, like, they love the man and that. So it's like, well, it looks like they like the man to the extent that they feel that the man is always on their side. That's what they were thinking, they were saying, from maybe or the implication of what they were saying. But I think that according to them, from what they were saying, the man is somebody who listens to them all the time, to their grievances, and is ready to address them. That is the inference that I have from what they said.
Okay, Mr. Nyamichemanfo, I'd like you to hold on as we speak to our correspondent who is just back from the school. I'm sure that maybe a piece of information would also help your investigation. So if you could just hold on briefly, I'll come back before I let you go. Thank you very much. Now, Emmanuel Mensah-Abludu, good evening.
Hello, you
are just back from Notre Dame Girls Senior High School. What did you find out?
I went there this evening after hearing that there was an agitation this afternoon. I met the chaplain of the school in the person of Reverend Father Dominic Obuo. According to him, he has been in and out of the school for some time now. So he was not around when the issue happened. But yesterday he was in office in the evening when they came to him shouting that one of the girls was indisposed, that he's been sent to the local SBA clinic around the residency area there, and her condition was very terrible and it was needed to be there. So we rushed the place. On entering there, he saw that the
Hello, Emmanuel, your line is getting bad. If you could reposition yourself, can you try and do that?
Hello? Hello?
Yes, Emmanuel.
According to the Reverend, when he got to the hospital, the girl had just lost her life and she was about being covered. So she made an arrangement and she was sent to the morgue that evening. But according to him, yesterday was the only time that he heard of the lady's sickness. But according to some of the students we spoke to, the girl has been indisposed for about 2 weeks or so. But the school nurse, as well as the assistant headmistress, Reverend Sister Caroline Anyenga, who is from Kenya, has been very difficult in the way she put it, that was very difficult in allowing the girl to go out home to seek medical attention as she was denied an earlier. So the girls are not very happy as a result of that. That's why they went on the route march this afternoon, trying to call for the head of the assistant headmistress as well as the nurse. They think this has caused the death of their colleague.
Did you get to speak to the headmaster or headmistress, as the case may be?
The headmistress. The headmistress wasn't as close when I got. I didn't see her.
So why did they close down the school?
The substantive headmistress, who is Margaret Lucy, is indisposed for about 2 weeks now. So she's not around. But in her absence, she's there. Assistant headmistress, the Reverend Sister Caroline Anyenga, who have been deputizing for her. But according to the children, since these two people, the nurse, between the nurse and the assistant headmistress, they are the people they are blaming now for the death of their colleague.
Okay, so who ordered the closure of the school, Emmanuel? Who ordered the closure of the school?
According to the Reverend Father, the students were agitating that they want to go home, because they are not in the right frame of mind to learn as a result of the loss of their colleague. And Monsignor Kwame Kumi have to order the closure of the school so that they can return next.
Is it that they were asking to be allowed to go home, or they were rioting, were they demonstrating?
No, they were saying that they were agitating that they should be allowed to go home. This is what the Reverend Father told me. I didn't see them. But what they were
and so for how long are they going to be at home?
Maybe they will be coming here Tuesday.
Excuse me.
Hello, Emmanuel. They'll be coming back on Tuesday, you say?
Yes, please.
All right. Thank you very much, Emmanuel Mensah-Abludu, Abunaf Regional Correspondent. Now, Mr. Kojina Muchemafu, you are the Regional Minister. You have formed or set up a committee. What exactly is the mandate of this committee?
Yeah, the mandate basically is to find out the truth or the otherwise of the incident, that is to say the death of the student, and if there are any other issues related to that the issue, the recommendations should be made for the appropriate action to be taken. So the committee hopefully will start its work next Tuesday.
Tuesday? Why not immediately?
Well, today is a weekend, and officially people have to come back to work on Monday. Monday, the committee will be inaugurated, and then they will start off from there. But basically, I'm sure they will start working on Tuesday.
Now, just before I let you go, you are the head of the Bonang Afo region, as the regional minister. How is the region coping with the strike by the doctors?
Well, so far, yesterday I was at the hospital. I saw some of them working. But I think that the situation is a bit okay, maybe as compared to probably other areas. We find a few of the doctors are working over there. There are patients also around. And we are praying that very soon the issue will resolve and they go back to work.
But the doctors say they are not going to attend to emergency cases if that should happen right away. Are you sure you have contingency measures in place to take care of the situation?
Well, I think that some of the doctors still feel that patients' lives should be saved at all costs. So some of them, when you call them, are ready to work. Apart from that, we have a few other private hospitals, clinics around where patients can also receive attention if need be. But I think generally the doctors have been very generous, and we see some of them working. So that I believe that if there are any emergency situations which demand the intervention and they are called upon, I think that they will come.
Okay, well, thank you very much for talking to us tonight on Radio Ghana, Regional Minister Bonang Afo Region. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
You're welcome, sir. Have a nice evening.
Mr. Kojinya Michimafu is the Regional Minister of Bonang Afo Region. Well, so to what extent has is a strike by the doctors affecting hospital or health facilities in this country? Let's go to Kumasi now. We speak to Kwame Frimpong, who is a public relations officer of the Confirmatory Teaching Hospital. Good evening to you, Kwame. Welcome to Radio Ghana. Can you tell us what the impact is on your hospital, the impact of the strike?
Good evening. I know in Ghana, in the health sector, there is a hierarchy of service delivery. And the team hospitals has a different range of services that they provide. And they are mostly doctor-led, unlike other health facilities like the health centers and other district facilities, where nurses and experienced medical assistants can initiate diagnosis and treatment and care. The city hospitals are different, and therefore, because our activities are doctor-led, their absence as a result of the strike has virtually crippled our operation.
So, can you tell us, is it crippled the entire operation of the hospital, or there are some sections, which can work, or which
virtually. The sense that because most of them are doctor-led, because if the doctor does not take in the patients and do the initial diagnosis and then plan the treatment regime, is very difficult for the other health professionals to continue. And as I speak now, we are not speaking in new cases. We have a daily attendance, OPD attendance of 1,200 on average every day. Now we are not taking a single case. In terms of admissions, it's between 110 and 130 every day, new admissions. We are not doing that. And therefore, when you go around our wards, you see that the hospital is about half empty, which is strange, given that we even have floor patients when we are in full operation. The beds will be full and we even have floor patients. So that should tell you the impact that the strike has had.
And those already on admission, are they being attended to?
Yes. We issued a statement indicating that because of the strike, we may not be able to take in new patients, but that management has put in place some contingency arrangements to take care of patients who were already on admission before the
strike.
So, with regards to our patients, we've had a commitment to take care of them, and that commitment is still in force.
So, since the strike took off, you've not been able to take in any patient?
Except a few in the most critical of cases. They've said that except in dire emergency, which means that it should be an exceptionally serious case before they will admit new patients. Other than that, all the other cases are not being addressed.
Well, you live in the Kumasi metropolis. I'm sure you have a fair idea of health facilities in and around the metropolis. Where do you think these about 1,200 on average patients, that is OPD cases, which come daily, who are not being taken in by CAF, go?
We believe that they may be seeking help from the private health institutions, from the institutional medical facilities, and then from the missing facilities too. These are the two categories of facilities that I believe the patients are seeking their cases to. Others may be seeking help elsewhere. I cannot tell for now, but I believe these three institutions might be holding the fort for now.
How about emergencies at Konfamochi? Are you admitting emergencies?
As I indicated, it's only in case of dire emergencies, extremely complex and serious cases. Other than that, they don't take it deeply.
But even that, do you have doctors on hand who could have
made arrangements? Okay. Some arrangements with some of our specialists and consultants.
Who are always around?
We give them a call and then they come around.
All right. We thank you very much for talking to us tonight. Kwame Frimpong, Public Relations Officer of Konfamochi Teaching Hospital. Thanks so much and you have a good night. You're listening to Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. You can get us live at gbcghana.com. If you have any issue you'd like to clear off your chest, 026-441-8767 is a text line. This is Radio Ghana. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. Just some of your text messages that we have received. This one from Kaiser Zan Mampong. He says, I feel for the government for trying to satisfy all public sector workers on the SSSS. God bless the government of Ghana. AU Farouk in Tamale, with all the benefits doctors are enjoying, they are still asking for more. God save this country from these greedy doctors. He says, Jeku Mampong, some headmasters are to be sanctioned for mismanaging the schools, and doctors should consider the lives they save and call off the emergencies, the strike. No one says their job is not important. And that came from Akutura Zak in Tamale. You're listening to Behind the News. It is live on Radio Ghana in Accra and all FM stations of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation. Now, the confrontation, between the people of Aogo in the Asante Achim North municipality and the Fulani herdsmen doesn't seem to be easing. The two feuding parties are in the news again. This time, the community is incensed by the alleged murder of a middle-aged farmer by a Fulani herdsman. They've therefore given the herdsmen some days to leave the area or face the fury of the community. DSP Nana Ekoyorsing is Aogo District Police Commander and he's in the line. Good evening to you, Mr. Yorsing. Welcome to Radio Ghana.
Thank you, Mr. Ibrahim Asari.
Can you confirm the murder of this middle-aged man that we are hearing about?
Somebody came in. That is one Isaac Asari came in yesterday to my office around 3:30 p.m. And they indicate that the force system indicates that the father had been shot.
His father?
His father had been shot.
Okay.
At Bontre Forest, where he has his farm there. I received all the information. I organized some people and then they went to the scene. And there they brought the body of the deceased to Dagogo Morgue, where he is at the moment.
They went to the scene. What did they see? Of course, they brought the body, but were there any signs of a struggle or whatever happened there? Could you pick any information that suggested that there was, you know, can you tell us what
police,
it was like?
Police are conducting investigations, so I don't want to preempt the investigation.
Now, this man who was alleged to have shot this man, do you know his identity?
Please come again.
Do you know who shot this man, the one who killed this man? Can you tell whom he was?
The police are investigating, so after this time, we can't actually say that it is this or this who did the act.
And now Isaac Asari reported to you that his father had been shot. Did he tell you whom this man who shot his father was? Could he tell you?
Isaac Asari claimed somebody called him, so he was not at the scene.
And what was he told? Could he identify or describe the identity of this person?
I could not identify that person because I was not there.
No, I'm asking whether I'm asking whether Isaac Asare was able to tell you exactly whether the one who shot his father was a Fulani herdsman.
Listen, Mr. Ibrahim Asare, whatever that is. What I am saying.
The name is Abraham.
Ibrahim Asare, okay. What I am saying is, somebody will come in, excuse my listen. Somebody will come in and then make an allegation. But I can't come in and then tell you this or that. Because I'm a security officer, I have to investigate and then get the nitty-gritty of whatever is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that will help me to come out to make certain pronouncements.
Now, when exactly did this happen? Was it today?
It was yesterday.
So since between yesterday and today, you've not been able to gather any piece of information apart from what Isaac Asare told you?
Mr. Asare, we are still on investigation. Investigation as a first is not about mathematical equations or whatever it is. We have to go deep and then do certain things. And that is when after that the police can come out and they say certain things. Apart from that, you can't easily get up there, listen to people, hear things and do certain things, and then make our, how do you call it, cases.
Now, the reports are saying that the youth of the town are threatening, you know, the lives of these herdsmen. They are giving them some days to leave the place. Are you aware of that?
Well, I'm not aware of that. It's just this afternoon that somebody told me about it.
So
the truth is, I've actually met with some of the senior leaders and I've spoken to them because the constitution provides rights for people. And this constitution also provides the fact that in front of our rights, we have responsibilities that we have to execute. So if you want to put the law into your own hands and then do whatever you want to do, then actually we also have to come in. But for now, I met some of the senior leaders this evening and they have been able to talk to the people and have seen them.
Now, the people of Arago have been complaining for some time now about the activities of these Fulani herdsmen. Are there plans or any, you know, in place to protect them? Do you have enough men on the ground to make sure that everybody goes about his or her duties in peace?
Mr. Asare, it's unfortunate that some of the people who are expected to liaise with the police, talk to them, do everything with them, are not trying to do that thing. They just get out there, make noise on radio stations and those other things, who claim they have evidence. But they don't have those evidence because they don't come down to the police. There are instances for the sake of your news, I wouldn't want to cite. Because if I should do that, then it means we are going on over this and whatever it is. But that notwithstanding, I am on, the security agencies are on, and we are doing the best as we can to protect them.
Okay, Mr. DSP Rossing, I'll be good to you if you could just hold on briefly. I would like to give you just an assurance about how things are going to go between today and, you know, the days ahead. Let's listen to one Kingsley Obing, who is a member of the Algomain Makuo in Agogo. He's joined us now. Good evening to you, Kingsley. Welcome to Radio Ghana. What do you know about this story that, you know, about this man who was murdered? Kwesi Abua, we know, we are told his name is.
What I heard is that yesterday around after 10 o'clock in the morning, this man called, this man and his two sons, they went to their club. But they were returning, the children were in front and the father was making a call. So in an interval of about 15 meters or so, they asked the children, said, they met two Fulani men. Hello?
Yes, Yana, go ahead.
Was holding a gun and the other was holding a cutlass. So, as soon as they met there, when they were bypassed, they heard a gunshot and the father called them, come. When they got there, the Fulani people were running away. So he told them, they have killed me or they have shot me. So go and tell your mother and move away from this village. So that's what it is. So these children ran to a certain one of the huts there. And they called a certain man called Sriman, who is old enough to this thing, just send a message to Agogo. Whereby this, we heard of it, and then people from Agogo, together with the police, went to the scene and brought the body to the Agogo Mochi.
So who told you this story?
The children. Okay. One of the children.
Which of them? Can you mention his name?
Oh no, I don't know the name. But he told us over here. And it's a word of us, Disney. We were at the meeting when this he told us.
We understand that the youth of the town have given the Fulani headsmen 10 days to leave the area. Is that the case? Is that true?
Yes.
Are you part of that group?
Yes.
Why are you asking them to leave? Because we know that they've been given some, you know, concession there.
The Fulani headsmen here, they just want to take our land by force.
Why haven't you asked the police to look for these men whom you accuse of killing this man?
You see, about 4 weeks or 5 weeks ago, one retired man from hospital called Awia, the late Kwame Awia, he was returning from farm together with his wife, and then some people armed themselves as armed robbers. They shot at this man. He was killed. The body was brought to Agogo Mochi as this, and nothing has been heard of it. One man called Joel, he was at his farm, and then he was shot in the farm. So he was shot twice. He was sent to Konfanoti Teaching Hospital, where he has been treated about this thing 5 weeks ago. Nothing has been heard of it. A certain man, within these 2 months, two people have been shot dead, and two people have been shot.
But
nothing has been heard of it. So if he says they are making investigation, where are they going to make the investigation? These Fulani people, as soon as they shoot at you, they just run away. They are in the bush. And who is going there to arrest that person or the investigation? These children, they don't know the time that Fulani man, but only they saw him, how he had dressed, and they know they are listening. They follow this cattle. That's why they identify as Fulani man. And they are the only people there. Since the arrival, this thing has been happening all the time. So if he says he's making investigation, they can go on with the investigation. But since these Fulani people have taken the law into their hands, just deprive us from our land, we want to retaliate. That is our aim.
What kind of retaliation are you going to embark on? What are you going to do specifically, exactly?
Okay, when the time comes, you'll hear of it. You hear that we are marching to the bush to meet the Fulani people, either with catapults or anything we lay hands on.
But are you sure that all these murders you have you know, enumerated or listed out were caused by Fulani headsmen? Are you sure the murderers are headsmen who are Fulanis?
Yes, the late Arias wife, he told us frankly, and then these FM stations, their sister says they have got a listen. He said he was on the motorbike when these people met them. He said, they were speaking this Hausa language or Fulani, like, Mata, come down, Mata, come down, then bring money beyond all this. Huh? So the woman could identify that they were Fulani people. It was around 6:30 p.m. So he said this, and nobody has been arrested. That is why. They are in the bush harassing all these just like that. Right now, you can't go to farm alone. We go in groups. But when you are in the group, over there, if you are holding a gun, according to the people, the military men or the security men will seize the gun from you, the local man. But these Fulani people who are having gun in their this thing, they won't go there and seize the gun. Because they won't bring it to their this thing, the place where they are. So when they see you holding a gun, they will seize it. They are here doing, what are they doing at all? Are they here to help the Fulani people or the cattle to graze, or they are here to protect the citizens of Agogo?
Do you treat these people? Are you in peace with them? Do you relate to them well? Because some also say that sometimes the people make them angry. They don't relate to them in a peaceful manner, and that's why they keep on treating you the way they do. If that is true,
who are they?
I mean, the residents of Agogo, we understand that some of the reports are saying that you are not living with them in peace, You keep harassing them, and that's why they are also protecting themselves.
We are harassing the Fulani men.
Yes.
Oh, see, the land which belongs to my father, once you take the land for your cattle to graze on, you won't compensate me, you won't do anything. About 2 months ago, or this is 2 weeks ago, two of my sons were having watermelon farm. It was about to be harvested. When they went to the farm, the whole thing is spoiled. They have taken the cattle has grazed. They have spoiled everything. Huh? Look at this, 10-acre farm. What are they going to feed on? What are my children? They have lost this thing. Yeah. So if you go to farm and you see that your farm has been destroyed by this cattle, what will you do? They are here just causing all this havoc and this thing. And the security men are here. You say you are making investigation. Well, investigation, is it done at Agogo town or at the bush where these Fulani people are? What about it?
Okay, hold on. DSP Koyosin, it looks like there are a lot of murders in your area.
Mr. Masari, thank you for this time again. I am surprised over the way King Filobin is speaking, as if he is a Maludia Charlie of everything. There are certain opinion leaders I have been meeting all this while, and then he, King Filobin.
Oh, I'm afraid we have lost DSP Nanai Koyosin. We'll try and reach him and bring him back online so that he can continue with what you will say. Now, Kingsley?
Yes, sir.
In the case of your children whose watermelon farm was destroyed, did you report the case to the police?
Sir, when you report this to the police, what are they going to do?
No, did you report to the police?
They reported the case to the police, and nobody will be arrested because the Fulani people, they have left the scene. So if you report, and you won't get anything. So there's no way I should report all this. They just will come and sit down. Now, many people have been reporting their cases, but nothing has been done towards it. So it's rather unfortunate these people are here harassing us and doing all these things.
But you know that in spite of whatever might have happened to you, you are not supposed to take the law into your own hands.
But you see, sir, you see, the one thing is, these people are foreigners. They have come to stay on our land, and they have taken the law into our hands. While security people are around, you see, they are harassing us. And so if we want to retaliate, what is wrong with it?
All right, Kingsley, we wish you all the best. Thank you very much for talking to us tonight. And have a good night. Kingsley Obeng is a member of the Agumanko Maku in Hago. You're listening to Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. You can also send us a text to 026-441-8767. We're trying to reach DSP Nanai Koyosin, who is the Hago District Police Commander. He was speaking to us on the line. When DSP Koyosin, sorry about that, the line went off. Can you continue with what you're saying?
Yes, sir. I am surprised over the efficiency of this Kingsley Obeng. And here is somebody who has never come to my office to actually come in to see whatever is this and whatever the developments are. He was talking about some people, and he's talking about this and Mr. Ewua. And if he had actually come to my office and then followed information, you realize that some people have been arrested in connection with that, and they are in court, of which they went to court today.
Now, these people who were arrested, are they Fulani herdsmen?
These people who were arrested, are they Fulani herdsmen?
Yes, those in court.
People that you are arrested, I can't give you whatever it is. But if he had been a police to come in, to actually know whatever it is, he would have appreciated over the fact that the police have been working seriously over those things.
But we agree.
The fact that police are not doing anything. Investigation is not something just like one-on-one, this and a mathematical, how do you call it, formula. It takes many things to go into investigations. And there are certain investigations that comes in. You have to investigate for some time because we need information. If you don't have the information, how do we then go in? The police will try, the citizens should come in because that is the system. If the information, you don't come to us and then give us the information, how do we know that this is actually happening?
Are you in touch with the Fulani herdsmen? Do you meet them? Do they come to you? Do you talk to them?
Am I in touch with them?
Yes. Are you a man?
Yes. The Fulani men or my men?
I mean the Fulani men. Are you in touch with them?
I don't have anything one-on-one with them, but I've met the heads of the Fulani men on 4 occasions.
And what have they been telling you?
And I was talking to them over whatever they are saying, because they can't tell me. I am the security head. I have to tell them what it is.
Look, did you find out from them whether the allegations are true, the kind of things they keep accusing them of?
Mr. Asare, you
Mr.
Yosin, as investigationists, you can't just go and then ask them, this is this. In any situation, let us actually investigate and then come out.
Well, I'm afraid Mr. Yossin's line is not even on hold now. The line is, so if you're listening to Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. Hello? Hello, Mr. Yossin, are you on the line?
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much. This is Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. Here are some of your text messages. This one from Kojoe Kins in Cape Coast. He says, I would never vote for a medical doctor who may contest to be a president of Ghana. Anthony Nyamiche, Chifu Kairiku, congratulations to the government for honoring heroes of the land. Doctors should emulate them. Baba Musa UDS, the security agencies must set up and put pragmatic measures in place to avert any bloody clash between the people of Agu and the Fulanese, Odinkin and Koko. If the laws of the land cannot protect the people of Agu, then the people must protect themselves. You're listening to Behind the News, and it's live on Radio Ghana. Do you believe in a so-called African gems philosophy? Well, this is where people say that even when they do not wash their hands, their system is strong enough to protect them. However, globally, it has been found out that a simple washing of the hands with soap and running water is one way of preventing diarrheal diseases and other infections. Yet, this is a practice that is not taken very seriously by some people. As the world celebrates Global Hand Washing Day, Behind the News explores how far Ghana has come with the attitude since the celebration began. We have now on the line Theodora Adumakweje, the Extension Services Coordinator of the Community Water and Sanitation Agency. On the line, good evening to you, Theodora. Welcome to Radio Ghana. Now, the rule is that one must wash hands under running water. We do not have running water, you know, all over the place. So is this philosophy of washing hands actually working?
Yes. We say that the ideal thing to do is to have running water. But if you don't have running water, in our homes, we use bowls and we have other ways of washing our hands. And therefore, we can do that. But the question I will ask is that we know that our hands carry germs in the way we use them. And therefore, we will not want to get germs into our bodies. And therefore, we will have to wash our hands with soap before eating and after visiting the toilet. So if you don't have running water and you are using that as an excuse, then you are harming yourself, because we have so many ways of washing our hands to make sure that our hands are indeed safe before we handle food.
But from the work that you do, do you think people are washing their hands? Are they catching on with the campaign to wash hands, or they are still, you know, saying, as we know, the African saying, African gems philosophy, we say that those gems, our system is so used to them, they cannot survive.
If people are not washing their hands, I don't think it's really an issue to do with the African gems, you know. It's like some people are not used to washing hands before eating, because in most of our homes, what we see is that people just dip their hands in water and they eat. And after eating, they wash their hands with soap. So the issue is like most people have been socialized into a certain way of going about it. And you wash your hands with soap. The soap will contaminate the food, or the soap will interfere with the taste of the food. And you and I know that this is not true, because if you use soap and water to wash your hands, it doesn't affect the food anyway. But it's like a myth, you know, or something that people are used to, washing their hands after eating, and that is what they will do. So it's not really an issue with an African gem term, but maybe it's like something that we are not used to. And we have been creating the awareness about hand washing with soap. And as you are aware, these days you can see that hand sanitizers are coming up on the market. It's because of the awareness that we have created.
And those hand sanitizers, are they effective? Are they as effective as soap with water?
Hand sanitizers are not as effective as using soap and water to wash their hands, because if even you read the instructions on it, they will tell you it takes them some 90-something percent. They have never said 100%. This is because if you apply the hand sanitizer on your hands, because of the alcohol in it, it can kill some germs. But for instance, if your hands are dirty, the dirt is still there, you know. And the issue with hand sanitizer is also the fact that it's not everybody who can even afford to buy, and also you can't find it everywhere. If it's used as an emergency measure, you know, if you find yourself somewhere where you don't have the water and soap, then you can use it. But water, using water and soap to wash your hands is the best to do to get the germs off your hands.
Apart from visiting the toilet, what other things do we use our hands for that require, you know, washing of the hand?
In fact, I've always said that hand washing with soap is an issue for everybody. But then for Ghanaians, I think it's critical for us, in the sense that we use our hands in doing so many things. If you attend a funeral, you find people shaking hands with everybody because it's like a tradition. You find people picking their nose with their hands. You find people cleaning their ears with their hands. You find people scratching certain parts of their bodies, you know, with their hands. And as you have mentioned, when we visit the toilet, we use our hands to clean ourselves. But the issue is that you can consider the dishes that in Ghana we like most. Kente, fufu, banku, tuozafi, among others. And when it comes to the preparation of this food, you can imagine how we use our hands. I mean, vigorously. If you have to prepare kenke, you have to mix the kondo with your hands and all of that. If you have to pound fufu, see the way we use our hands in turning the fufu upside down.
But you see, what you are saying is a challenge, because if I go out there to buy fufu or banku, and the one who prepared this might have picked the nose with the hand, or use the hand to touch certain parts of the body, or might have visited the toilet, I do not even know. Even though I will wash my hand before eating, I may be picking something from somewhere.
Yeah, so that is why all of us, we have it as a responsibility to create the awareness, to get to these people, to let them understand these issues that we are talking about. Because, you see, the issue is that if you think that you are washing your hands and therefore you are okay, you may go outside and buy food from someone who did not wash their hands before preparing the food or before serving you with the food. So it's a national issue that everybody should get involved and then talk about it to raise the awareness, you see, because as I was saying, apart from the preparation of the food, when it comes to eating too, it's our hands that we use. You even know that you have to wash your hands before eating, but you find some people who will not wash their hands before eating. So it's everybody's business to talk about hand washing with soap at the critical times, that is after visiting the toilet and before handling food. That means before cooking, before eating, and before serving others with food.
There are some statistics that talk about babies or children under 5 years dying from diarrheal diseases. Is it because these babies do not wash their hands or are not made to wash their hands, or because the parents who take care of them don't wash their hands?
Yeah, and the parents. We say that children under 5 years, you know, the parents, it starts with the breastfeeding. You know, if a mother is going to breastfeed a child, the mother has to bring out the breast, you know, and then make sure that it gets into the mouth of the baby properly. And so if there's something on the hands of the mother can introduce it even at that point of breastfeeding a baby. And we shouldn't also forget that lactating mothers, that is mothers who have babies, you know, breastfeeding babies, they change the nappies of the babies often, you know, and they come into contact with feces often. So if they don't wash their hands after changing the nappies of their babies, they can introduce this feces into the food of their babies. Yeah, and also, you know, there are some places that you find children, even 2 years, 3 years, who are allowed to eat by themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yes.
So if these children are playing around, for instance, and with their hands in the sand, on the floor, on the ground, and all of that, they take turns. And if they don't wash their hands for them before eating, then they introduce these germs in the food and they take the food and that makes them fall sick. Or get
So just briefly, tell us what kind of diseases are people likely to get from not washing their hands before eating or after visiting the toilet?
Come again, please.
What kind of diseases are people likely to get? Yes.
Yeah. We have the diarrhea diseases we are talking about. You can think of cholera, you know, typhoid is there, dysentery is there. But it is not only diarrhea diseases. We also talk about respiratory infections. The pandemic flu, that is the H1N1, for instance, one of the preventive ways of not having the H1N1 is to wash their hands at certain critical moments. So these are some that I want to mention. Hepatitis A, for instance, you know, it has a fecal-related
disease,
yeah. And therefore, if you visit the toilet, for instance, and you don't wash your hands or you take something with feces infected with that, you can have it.
Now, the day will be marked tomorrow. How is it going to be marked?
Tomorrow will be at the Tema station in Accra here. And the theme for this year's celebration is more than just a day, making hand washing with soap a daily practice. And that venue has been chosen because we don't want it to be the normal speeches and all of that. We want to come into contact with the people. You know, Tema Station, there's a market there, you have the lorry park, and you have passing all sorts of people at that place. So we want to interact with the public, you know, come into contact with them and make sure that they have the right messages about hand washing with soap. Hoping that when they get to their homes, they will also continue with the awareness. And for instance, the food vendors at the market there will demonstrate how to wash their hands properly. And then at what times they will have to wash their hands. But I don't know whether you saw 28 September daily graphic. It was published at the front page that beware, the Ghana City Notes
yes.
has, yeah. So, for instance, you can imagine the drivers and then the driver mates all over handling money, even the traders handling money, the food vendors handling money, and introduce picking this bacteria from the currency that they handle
and spreading it
to the food that, yeah, they are selling, all the money changing hands from here and there, people getting to their homes. If they don't wash their hands, they use it to eat, they use it to cool and do all sorts of things. So we want to create the awareness about all of this at the demonstration tomorrow.
Yeah. Thank you very much for talking to us tonight. I'm Theodora Adumakwaje, Extension Services Coordinator at the Community Water and Sanitation Agency. Thanks so much, and you have a good night.
Yeah,
now, the Executive Director of Hope for Future Generation is Cecilia Lodunu Senu. They've been doing some work on hand washing. Let's get some more from her. Good evening to you, Auntie Cecilia. Welcome to Radio Ghana. From the work you've been doing, are people washing their hands?
Yes, for us, our promotion of hand washing is related to our behavior change communication project we are doing under the WASH project in partnership with CHF International. The communities, they have really understood the importance of hand washing. And most of the people, what they do now is they have a small water and small soap in their bags. And so you'll be surprised to see a lot of women always washing hands wherever they go, because we have the five critical times of hand washing, which we promote. That is, after going to toilet, we ensure that you wash your hand under running water with soap. And when you change the baby's napkin, because these are the times that you come in contact with feces. And when you go for any social gathering, maybe funeral, that is where you shake hands with a lot of people, or you come from the market. And these are the things that we promote. And we are actually promoting it seriously for mothers with children under 5 years, because these women handle a lot of children and a lot of young people. And then among school children. We also promote it among market community women and men, the whole family, because adults believe that it's only children who wash their hands with soap. But a lot of fecal matters, a lot of dirty things are in the hands of adults who knowingly or unknowingly handle food straight into their mouth.
How about food vendors? Does your campaign also reach them?
Yeah, we train a lot of food vendors. We train them using different participatory methods for them to understand how to handle food, how to cover their food, exposure of food. And so our campaign is actually promoting food vendors, ice cream sellers, pure water sellers, anybody, because these are things that we don't think about. But these are people who transfer a lot of diseases through their hand contact with the food. For example, when you want to buy even ice cream by the roadside,
yes,
the dirty hand is used to pick the ice cream, and it's the same part of the ice cream that you put into your mouth. So these are insignificant things that we are telling people to know, that any disease that you can get through contact with food can be through any of these things. So this is the campaign we are doing with our partners, CHF International, with funding from USAID Ghana.
All right. We wish you all the best in this campaign, and thank you so much for talking to us. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Cecilia Lodunu Senu is Executive Director of Hope for Future Generation. Some of the text messages, this one from Ejabuachi in Techima. He says, I am a farmer. What will the doctor eat if I also decide to go on strike? Wise up, doctors. I support Agumang, the Fulani man, should go. Sir Abraham in Chifu. How pathetic the story of our grace. For how long ago are they going to lament? No wonder doctors are more furious after the appeal of the president. Will we ever be serious? Upong Insunyan says so. Bawal Hassan, the government must intervene in the Algo issue. We've had enough. And that's it for tonight's edition of Behind the News, which came to you live from Broadcasting House in Accra. This program, as always, is produced by Edmond Tete, Christopher Siedu, Kinsley Obinchwe, Bright Agama, and John Poby. Gifty Broom is the technical producer for tonight. My name is Abraham Asari. Have a good night.